I want to start off the lecture tonight with a video, like we started off the class, but it's so kind of apropos to what we're doing tonight in terms of talking about philosophy and man's logic and also being saved by Christ. So, Todd, will you roll the video for the guys, please? I think you guys will recognize the movie, too.
For Everett, and no transmission belt for 2 weeks either.
Huh? They damned that river on the 21st. Today's the 17th.
Don't I know it?
We got but 4 days to get to that treasure. After that, it'll be at the bottom of a lake. We ain't gonna make it walking.
Well, that's right. Go for Everett. But the old tactician's got a plan. For the transportation, that is, I don't know how I'm gonna keep my coiffure in order.
How's this a plan? How we gonna get a car?
Sell that. I figure you can only have painful association for Wash.
To Washington Bartholomew Hogwaller from his loving Cora. And more than this is.
This is in his bureau. I reckon it'll fetch us enough cash for a good used auto voucher and a little leftover besides.
Whew. You got some light fingers, Everett. Gopher?
You miserable little snake. You stole from my kin!
Who was fixing to betray us.
You didn't know that at the time.
So I borrowed it till I did know.
That don't make no sense.
It's a fool who looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart. Now, what the hell is that saying?
Appears to be some kind of a congregation. Care for some gopher?
No, thank you, Delmer. A third of a gopher would only arouse my appetite without bedding her back down.
Oh, you can have the whole thing. Me and Pete already had one. We ran across a whole gopher village.
Hard times flush the chump. Everybody's looking for answers. Go ahead. Where the hell's he going?
Well, I'll be a son of a bitch. Delmar's been saved.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
Delmer, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent of those charges.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that that sin's been washed away, too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
I love that. So the two quotes that we want to take from this that I thought were really good can you advance, Todd? Is Everett, who is George Clooney, says, "It's a fool who looks for logic in the chambers of a human heart." And I think we're going to talk a little bit tonight about man's logic. And then when we get to the sufficiency of Christ, I've been redeemed. All my sins are washed away. No need to do anything else. So I just couldn't resist putting that one up. Hopefully you enjoyed it. To start off for the first 4 minutes. Can I have the next slide, please? So we're talking about the traditions of man, and the verse I want to share with you is Mark 7:5-9. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commandments of God and are holding on to the human traditions.'" And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to observe your own traditions." And I thought it was pretty apropos tonight, crossing over to what Paul's message is to the Colossians here about hanging on to man's traditions and letting loose of the scripture of Christ. Can we have the next screen, please? So, as Wikipedia defines philosophy, it is the study of general and fundamental problems, such those are connected with existence, knowledge, reason, value, mind, and language, all man stuff. At the time that Paul wrote Colossians, there was three types of philosophies at the time. The Pharisees, who we all know were rule followers. Sorry, I'm getting pulled here. The Sadducees, who didn't believe in an afterlife. And the Essenes, who were kind of mystics. So they believed there was things hidden, and if you got passed a bunch of tests and stuff, you could get to it. There's an actual website I found that you just do a Google search on the name, you can come up, and it looks great. And they got a picture of a Christ-looking character on the left, and they talk about the philosophy and all that. But just like the things that Paul talks about today in Colossae today are true for us, and that it looks good, but it was full of deceit. You know, that you had to do extra things. Man had to be performing to get to the next level, and that's what it's all about. Next, please. So the book does a really good job of talking about legalism, which is the two main components are prohibition and regulations. These are more like the Pharisees, right? Mysticism, which is I got to have a personal experience, and you don't have it, makes me special, or it's not available to everybody, and that's not Christianity. And then the last part is asceticism, which is characterized by abstinence or punishment. And all three of those are not Christianity, as Christ had talked to us about it. So those are some of the background for what's going on at the time. Next, please. So the U.S. Department of Treasury, when they're teaching their agents to find something counterfeit, the thing they teach them to recognize the most, does anybody know? The real one, right? So if you know the real, the genuine article, you can ID a fake immediately. And this is the thought that came to me today, or while I was writing this lesson up for you guys, is, you know, our job is to know the Word of God in such a way that when the counterfeit stuff comes up, we can recognize it immediately. And so I think that's a great lesson for us. I took that right off their website, How to Know Your Money. The blue in the quotes below is just me to the original genuine for Ephesus, but the rest was, you know, right off their website and how they do it. So let's take a look at some of the things that we need to believe in. Next slide, please. Just catch my notes up. So Christ is sufficient. You know, he fulfills our every spiritual need. All God's fullness is in him. We identify with him as head of the church. It's not only unnecessary, but sinful to get involved in any kind of legalism. Let's continue. Let's look at four ways that we can identify with Christ, because Christ is sufficient. So the first thing is we were circumcised him, and I think the book did a great job of this. So if you look at the Jewish tradition, circumcision was external. It only addressed one part of the body, right? It was done by hands, and it had no help in defeating sin in the long run. Where when you go to the circumcision that Christ provided for us, it's for us believers, it's an internal. He talks about cleansing of the heart. One of the things way back when I first became a Christian, I was a Christian at first for a while, and I used to still use cuss words. Could swear pretty good with the best of them. It was kind of common at AOL when I was there in the early days. But until I read a devotional on what comes out of the heart, it's not what goes in, did I realize that that stuff had to stop. So it's an internal, it's a heart thing that Christ is talking about, or Christ provides for us. It covers our whole body. It's done without hands, right, because it's our spiritual belief. And if we can rely on Christ, we can defeat sin. So those are the big differences when you look at circumcision of old and circumcision today. So we are circumcised in him. Next, please. We're alive in him. In our chapter, we learned through the faith of the operation of God. Taking you to one more verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just as the body through one has many parts, but all of its many parts come from one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We are all given one Spirit to drink. And what this means is that whatever happened to Christ happened to us. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he rose, we rose with him. And this is so critical that we have everything we need in Christ. He identified with us. He became man. We have all we need for him. We don't need outside rules and regulations. We don't need outside philosophies. We don't have to get in touch with Eastern religions or anything like that. We have everything we need in Christ. And he is the genuine thing. He's all we need. Next slide, please. We're free from the law in him, and I think we just talked about that. And the verse you can turn to in this is Romans 7:6. But now by dying to once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way in the Spirit and not in the old way in the written code. Anybody that comes up and tries to put demands on you, you have to do this or do that to be a Christian, those are man-made stuff. We don't need it. We join in communities because we like to have community, other Christians around us that we learn. But there are no rules, right, that you have to be in a community and things like that. And then the last piece I want to share with you about Christ is sufficient, the fourth thing is we're victorious in him. Now is the time for judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And there's three things that happened. Christ disarmed the powers and authorities. So Satan, and this is like, I read this, this is from Wiersbe, and I loved it. You know, Satan cannot harm a believer that will not harm himself. Think about that. I mean, if we didn't stumble into sin, we're protected. I mean, we are protected in Christ. But, you know, most of our problems are self-inflicted, right? I mean, because, we have a sinful body, we have a sinful origin, and that's where it comes from. So I love that line. The second thing we were victorious in Christ is from Colossians 2:15, exposing Satan's deceit and vanquished the devil by his death, resurrection, and ascension. And we are triumphant with him the third way. So Christ is all we need. I think that came through in the lesson, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight as a quick overview. The last part of the lesson I'm going to cover in the next 5 or 8 minutes with you guys is, okay, so Paul talked to the people in Colossae, and he was trying to protect them from, excuse me, sorry. He was trying to protect them from false teachers. So I was praying about this, and it said, well, why don't we talk a little bit as a class tonight about what we can do about our flock, our family, the people around us, the people we work with. What can we do to protect them from false teaching. And maybe more so towards the family at first, but also in all the things you do, this applies to our work lives and the people around us. And let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I think this is go back to the counterfeit. If you know the word of God and you know the genuine word, you can recognize the false prophets. And this chapters 4, 5, and 6 in Deuteronomy had a lot of great sayings, if you want to go back and review them, about, you know, believing in the word and what that does for us. But let's take up our cause here and talk about what we can do about protecting our families from false teaching. First rule is no hypocrites. So if you're telling them to do one thing and acting another way, it's not going to work. You know, I can tell you, my kids are the best hypocrite detectors in the world. They call you on it, right? I'm sure yours are, whether they're old or young or growing up. We see some chuckles in the crowd. That's just the way kids are. The second thing that is that we should be examples. So whether at home or at work, we should talk about the Word of God. Best practices kind of stuff. When we're at the dinner table and stuff, we bring up topics and we talk about the Word of God. What are you studying in CBS or things like that? It'll get your families, you know, moving in terms of the Word, whether it's your sons or daughters or grandchildren or friends that are with you. These are good things to do, is to know hypocrites, be examples in your life. So, you know, show, you know, work charity if you can, or be gracious when things aren't going your way. I mean, I had it today. I was in a hurry. I'm running into the post office. And I like using the automated ATM machine because you can get in and out. There's 25 people in line. There's no line. All of a sudden, there's a lady in front of me, and she's got a baby. And she's struggling, and I'm like, oh, no. And it took an extra 10 minutes, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, slow down, relax. You know, don't get mad about this. This lady needs help. Help her out. Don't be in such a hurry that we're going to try and, hey, why don't you just move over, and I'll get the machine or something like that. That's not right. That's not the way we should. We should be living examples of Christian. You know, help this lady, you know, talk to the baby while she was using the machine or whatever to try and keep the baby occupied, even though I didn't have the time to do it. So that's just one example from today. I think it's good for the people around us to hear our testimony. You know, why are you a Christian? What happened in your life? What transformed your life? Hear other people's testimonies. You know, what made my friend this way, or Sandy? I mean, why did Sandy become a Christian from his background stuff? And I think it's good for the people to hear that. Next slide, please. The other thing that, you know, on Sunday night we were talking about this at our dinner table, and I asked my daughter, who's 17, about these concepts, and she said to me, it has to be our idea. And it's something that we've kind of cultivated for a while in our family, Lynn and I, and that is, we'll tell you what the Bible says, we'll present the word, but it's yours to make a decision. And it's amazing, when I was going, you know, leafing around in my computer, I found a 8-year-old email I wrote my son about gambling. And he had was 12 years old at the time, and came home and talked about gambling. I said, well, that's not right. Do you understand what's going on? And clearly he thought it was kind of cool that played poker or whatever. And I'm like, well, it's good that you do that once in a while, but we got to understand what gambling's all about and why it's bad for some people and that. So I wrote a 3-page letter to him. And basically, you can Google anything, you know, what Christians think about gambling, contraception, whatever, and you can get a lot of material. I got a lot of material from it, but I think it's important for the people that we're with to understand it. And like for us, for my children, it was, you know, I gave specific examples about loving your neighbor. And there was a Mark verse in Mark 12, but I also gave them 7 or 8 other verses. We also, in the letter, I tried to paraphrase this. We talked about exploiting the poor, work ethic, greed, addiction, covenant, stewardship, deception, trusting God for our goods instead of trying to go out and get them through a shortcut, avoiding temptation, don't lead others astray. And so this was the body of the letter. And so whatever it is, I encourage everyone to be able to talk to the people they love and also follow up. It's also easy to send an email with a couple of scripture verses on it to say X, Y, or Z. And so this was from 8 years ago. And then I copied the salutation down for you, telling them, you know, your mother and I love you dearly. God has entrusted us to bring you up as a good Christian. While this email is long, we felt it was important for you to know how we felt and the reasons for our beliefs. We're big fans. You're your number one fans and cannot wait to watch you grow. Boom. Now it's your decision. You can go gamble if you want, but here's our position on it. And so I think this is an example that you hopefully can use and apply someplace in your life. Next screen, please. Challenge false teaching. I mean, that's what Paul was doing. And I think in our daily lives, when things come up, evolution versus creation, homosexuality, sexual purity, political topics, divorce, all those things that come up, know where you stand on them. The Bible has a lot to say about them. Don't be confrontational. I think Chris tonight in the leaders meeting we talked about this similar topic, and he kept on saying, preface it, in love. You know, challenge people in love. You don't have to be controversial. So we challenge people in love. I think also it's important that you're here and you're living in a community. And so when your small group is praying for you, share that with the people. Oh, yeah, my small group prayed for me and this is what happened. Or I go home and I say, we need to be praying for so-and-so, somebody that's happened to them that I find out through you guys. I think attending a service is a priority. It's not required, but it's good to have a bunch of other people around you. Like, I love coming here and seeing you guys. This is one of the highlights of my week. I get energized by it. The last thing is give people the responsibility to go research it themselves and find out for the truth in themselves and come back and ask you questions. And so the last thing I want to say to cheer with you is an article I found in the paper. I think in terms of bringing people up and doing things right, I think this is a cute little story that I'm going to read to you, and then we'll have a prayer. It's about a different kind of drug problem. And this was an editor's note. The other day, someone at the store in our town read that a meth lab had been found in an old farmhouse in an adjoining county and asked me a rhetorical question. Why didn't we have a drug problem when you and I were growing up? I replied, I had a drug problem when I was young. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church for weddings and funerals. I was drugged to family reunions and community socials, no matter what the weather. I was drugged by my ears when I was disrespectful to adults. I was drugged to the woodshed when I disobeyed my parents, or total lie. Bought home a bad report card, did not speak respect, spoke ill of the teacher or the preacher, or didn't put forth my best effort in everything I was asked to do. I was drugged to the kitchen sink to have my mouth washed out with soap if I uttered profanity. I was drugged to pull weeds out of mom's gardens and flower beds. I was drugged to the homes of family and friends and neighbors to help some poor old soul who had no one to mow the yard, repair the clothesline, or chop firewood. And my mother, if had known if I took a single dime as a tip for this kindness, she would have drugged me back to the woodshed. Those drugs are still in my veins. They affect my behavior and everything I do, I say, or think. They are stronger than cocaine, crack, or heroin. And if today's children had this kind of drug problem, America would be a better place. God bless you, parents who drug your children around. So, cheers. Let's have a prayer, guys. We'll land this thing on time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are sufficient for everything we need, everything that our families need, and you are our all in our Lord, O Lord, our King of Kings. Lord, help us remember what is genuine and true about your word, and help us remember it at the right time, when the topics come up in our lives where we need to to go back to your word and remember it and clearly state it so people can understand the truth. We also ask you, Lord, to help us with our families and our friends and our communities, that we are great examples of Christians today, that we know the truth, that we speak the truth in love, and that we
through our words can help other people understand the truth and hopefully bring them to you to worship you as we do. We ask you to protect all the men tonight, Lord, on the way home. We ask you to protect Jerry where he's speaking and bring him back safely to us. And we ask you to be with us through the week. God bless you.
Good night, guys.